Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Can't talk about me.
It's already in my notes. It is already in my notes. Good morning, everybody. I am John, as my dad so nicely said. It's good to see you all. I want to test something real fast. This is for us sound people. I just want to see. None of you have any idea what I'm testing, but I am testing something with that. But thank you, Dad. It's good to see everybody, especially the new people. Welcome. Hope you feel like family. Really do. I do want to take a quick moment and just thank everybody. You know, my dad already did. You know, he kind of stole my thunder at this point for a couple things. No, but just thank you for everybody that has helped out with the Mason family. You know, as you said, you know, her mom just passed away very unexpectedly. And thank you for the meal train and then for the memorial service yesterday. Thank you for everyone who helped. She told me afterwards that the service went just as she hoped. And I think for memorial service, that's about as good as we can get as a support for her. Because I just can't imagine what she's going through. I saw her a few minutes ago. I don't know if she's still here. Oh, okay. But you know, my heart just breaks for her. On a lighter note, quick reminder, Christmas is in 19 days and I am a size Home Depot gift card. So just, you know, size large, I might fit in a medium, but size large, no, I'm joking. As my dad talked about, bad joke. There's only one more bad joke you have to hear today, so don't worry about that, unless he gets back on stage. So most of the time, the messages that I have are kind of stem from like a specific moment in time where like I'll see something and God kind of just be like, that right there is what I want you to preach on. And that's exactly what happened with this too. It happened a couple months ago. And most of them are parables, which I think is cool because I don't really think of them. God just kind of drops them in my mind, but I think it's cool because that's how Jesus mostly preached. This one actually occurred while Jesse and I, my lovely wife, were driving and we were on Belterre and we're heading south and we were right at the stoplight at East Hampton where that Publix is. And there was a car in front of us that had this kind of old faded bumper sticker. And I'm not going to tell you what it says yet. I will. But the way it was worn, because it was kind of old and faded, it took me a minute. And I was trying to figure out exactly how it read, because depending on how you looked at it, it could be kind of read a few different ways. And I just kind of saw it and I just felt God say, like, that right there, that whole conundrum, that's what I want you to talk about. I said, okay. And I put it in the Notes app on my phone. Because without the Notes app, I would get nothing done, and I've been kind of waiting for it. So, like I said, I won't say what it says yet, but we'll get there. First, I kind of have to set up the scenario for it. But before I do that, let me pray. Father, right now, I just come to you, and I just humble myself, and just, you know, I do my best to lay aside the brain of John Covey and just allow you to speak through me. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that quickens and empowers the words that will come out of my mouth, and I just thank you that. You know, you have a plan for today, and I know that you will accomplish it. We thank you. Amen. It was actually kind of neat even because just during the worship, there are a couple of things that popped in my mind, and I was like, you know, I really wish I would have explained this part better. And then a minute later, I was like, you know, and there's another thing I really wish I would have kind of explained better. And the song that Rachel sang kind of directly was right in line with that area. So that was kind of a God thing. And then something my dad was saying during communion was another area where I was like, so it's like God was kind of saying, nah, it's okay. You didn't have to put that in there. I got this, you know, so it's just kind of cool to see exactly how that worked. So this little scenario, the beginning part is kind of a downer. It doesn't take a long time, though, because it's a pretty simple concept that I really do think most people would understand and agree with. And that is this concept that each of us is imperfect. I think. In general, most of us would agree with that statement, although when my dad was driving back from the auto shop last week when the car was in for maintenance and he asked me just the title of the sermon and I told him it was called Imperfect, he did say, well, I guess you can't use me as an example. So the rest of this message will now be on pride, and there's the other bad joke that you have to hear from me. I have no more. You're welcome. Because they only get worse from here, kind of like my fashion. The only fashionable thing in my life is my wife. So, but again, I really do think that, you know, Christians or not, I think few people really truly believe that they're perfect. I don't know. I mean, maybe there are some people out there that just really, really think they're perfect. But I think even the most prideful and arrogant person that you could possibly imagine probably realizes at the end of the day that they aren't perfect. And obviously, this is backed up in Scripture. You know, followers of Jesus, you know, if we've read this, we already know that all of us have sinned, not just followers of Jesus, but all of us have sinned. And that is pretty clearly stated in Romans 3:23, where it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So again, that's just kind of the beginning part. It's the downer, but there's good news coming. So I guess, why does this matter then is the next question. And I think there's a couple reasons. One is, I think most importantly, this sin, it broke our relationship with the Father. You know, he is our creator. He is the absolute lovers of our soul, and he created us to be in relationship with us. But, you know, he's a holy and perfect God. And once we sinned because of our sin, now we can't have that intimate, you know, perfect relationship with him. Another reason is it stops us from living our best life on this earth. You know, that little phrase that I feel old now because I feel like all the kids say, live your best life. You can't do that without Jesus. You think you can by doing what you want to do, and, you know, whether it's the amount of parties you go to, amount of friends you have, or the money you have, or the stuff you have, or whatever it is, you think that's you're living your best life, but in reality, you can't. You know, Jesus said, I came to give you life to the full, to the fullest. So if he came to give that to you, if you don't have him, if you don't have that relationship, you can't have life to the fullest. So it broke that, it broke the initial relationship. It really prevents us from living our best life on this earth. And also it ends in eternal separation from the Father. Because he's saying, listen, if, you know, unfortunately, if you're not, you know, if you're not worthy to stand in my presence, I can't have you in my presence, which is a terrible thing. And then we end up, you know, as Rod talked about last week very briefly and very eloquently, you know, it wasn't one of those hellfire and brimstone messages, but just kind of like, this is just how it is. You know, we do end up in hell. And again, I know this is all like a downer, but there is good news coming. And again, we can see all of this in Isaiah 59:2, where it says, but your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So again, all this is terrible stuff. But in case you don't know this, God is a God of restoration. You know, Rod has preached a long time ago about recalculating, you know, kind of if you get off his path and he manages to get you back on his path. And I think that's true, but I also think that that's not always restoration. That's just kind of getting you back to where you were. But I think restoration is where God takes what was broken and actually fully restores it, as if you never even got off that path to begin with. And I kind of, this is just me making up these two categories. I kind of feel like there's two different categories of restoration in the Bible. I feel like there's earthly restoration and then eternal restoration. Earthly restoration, I would say there's individual portions of the Bible, and you can see this in our lives too, but if we want the proof, we, you know, we go to the Word. It's where individuals and situations are restored. And the example for that is Job, which I'm not going to go into all of Job. But Job was a man who was righteous in God's eyes, who did nothing wrong. God said, this man did nothing wrong, and had probably, I would suspect, maybe the worst day of like anybody who's ever lived. But again, I want you to realize, God himself said, this man did nothing wrong to deserve this. But let's look at what happened in the beginning of the story. So I'm just going to tell you the beginning of the end. If you want the middle, go read it. Free Bible app. So Job 1, so chapter 1, 13 through 19. Now on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the female donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Okay, that's a bad day, I would say. But if we continue, we could... Oh, did you already switch to it? Sorry, I looked down. My bad. So, while the first guy is still speaking, another messenger appears. So now there's like a little line forming. Another guy comes up and says, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Okay, a little worse. While that guy's speaking, another guy comes and says, the Chaldeans formed three units and made a raid on the camels and took them and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Okay, getting even worse. But again, why? I mean, like, picture, I can almost picture, like, the servants, like, lined up. And it's like, you got to feel for the guy. Because, you know, you think after, like, five different people show up, there'd be some good news. But no. While he was still speaking, another also came up and gave him the worst news. Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Guys, I don't know about you. My 2020 has had a couple rough moments in it, but it doesn't compare to anything like that. I mean, I don't know. I think he had it just a little worse than I am. And again, all that's terrible, but there is good news. There is restoration. If we just go to the last chapter of the book in chapter 42, and again, I'm not going into all of it. I'll let you do that. But it says, the Lord also restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased double all that he had. So even though Job did nothing wrong, lost essentially everything, God not only restored it all, but even gave him double. So I think that's, I know that's what I kind of call like the earthly restoration. Now let's talk about Apostle Peter. Now he did do something wrong because he promised Jesus, picture promising Jesus to his face, Lord, I will not deny you. And then what, before 12 hours goes by, denies him three times. So Job did nothing wrong, and God still restored him. So, okay, like that, in our own human mind, that kind of makes sense. Like, well, Job did nothing wrong. But, I mean, this guy kind of like lied to Jesus. Like, I mean, I'm sure I've lied to Jesus before, but like not face to face. I don't know. I feel like that kind of makes it a little worse. I would feel a little worse about that. Just maybe that's just me. But he denied three times right after, or denied Jesus three times right after he had promised that he wouldn't. But what did Jesus do? He restored him. Did he say, oh, Peter, you know, you're just done with? No. Peter's the rock that the church was built on. You know, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He went out and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. You know, God just didn't say, well, you're done. No, God said, not only, well, I'll just let you hang around. No, no, no. God said, you know what? Yeah, you screwed up, but I've restored you, and you're going to be one of the leaders of what I'm doing. So just because you think you've done something wrong, God can still restore you. He can still restore that situation. The other type of restoration that I kind of find is what I call eternal restoration. I would say the Bible as a whole is a story of restoration. You know, in the beginning, you haven't read this before, but in the beginning, we sinned, we screwed up, and we were separated from God. And then if you kind of take like a big picture look at the Bible, it's really, the rest of it is God trying to find a way to restore that relationship. Because that's what God wants with us, is just that relationship. But we can't have the relationship because of the sin. So what God says is, listen, this is all just my plan, all put together on how to get where we can get back to each other. But the cool thing is that restoration is already here and ready and waiting for us today. Because that sin that initially separated us, as Rod has been saying, and I love it, how he talks about, you know, the issue isn't sin anymore, the issue is just the relationship. Jesus dealt with all that sin. And that burden of sin is not for you to carry anymore. It's not. Jesus already dealt with it. So if you're putting it on your shoulders, take a step back and say, oh, actually, I don't have to. We'll get to that in a second. But let's read 1 Peter, 1 Peter 2:24. It says, and he himself brought our sins in his body upon the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And by his wounds you were healed. So again, it says he brought our sins on his body so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So it's not a sin issue anymore. It's a relationship issue. And I'll tell you in a little while how we can restore that relationship. But so by now you're going, okay, John, you know, I would say probably 80% of us have heard most of this, and you're all, well, no, I'm not going to tell you a bad joke. So I already told you I was done with bad jokes. I won't say that. But you're all probably wondering, I have to. I know you're all sitting on the edge of your seats, just dying, waiting to know, how does it relate to the bumper sticker? So that bumper sticker, again, it's kind of a parable. It was a one-word bumper sticker. And it said, and I'm almost 99% sure it was in all caps, but it said, imperfect. That's all it said. There's no like other context clues of other bumper stickers around it. And that's kind of why it caught my eye. But when I first read it, I really couldn't tell if it said imperfect or I'm perfect. Because again, it was kind of old and faded, and I wasn't sure, like, the spaces, because things were faded. Was there supposed to be a space between the M and the P? Is there not? Like, I don't know, I'm kind of, and we're kind of looking at this, and I'm just like, man, I don't know what that, I'm kind of talking with Jesse about it. Like, I just don't know what it's supposed to be. And I felt, you know, Father speak to me. And so, like, that right there, like, that is what you got to talk about. Because, see, here's the crazy thing. There's really no difference between those two, or the one word and the two words, between imperfect and I'm perfect. Their letters aren't reorganized. They're not shaped differently. Nothing really has changed between them, right? And I'm here to tell you that God isn't here. He doesn't need to. He wants to for your own benefit, but he doesn't need to change you and reorganize your life completely to have a relationship with you. He doesn't have to do that to take you from imperfect to I'm perfect. He's willing to take you just as you are with this one little difference. That one little difference is just a little space right there. That little space. I get it. There's also an apostrophe for all you English sticklers and the word I'm. But listen, this is just a parable. If you know what that apostrophe means, let me know. You can preach next week. Rod can take another week off. And you can give the whole sermon on that, because I don't know what it is. So yes, I do understand that. Yeah, but that space right there, what I felt God say is that space is occupied by Jesus. See, you don't see the wind, you see the effects of the wind. You can't see a space, but you see the effect of a space. Right? You can't look and actually see the space. You only see the space because there's other stuff around it. You don't actually see the space. And when Jesus comes in, he creates space between you and sin. Before Jesus, you had to say that you were imperfect. But now with Jesus, you can say that I'm perfect. And not in a prideful way, because are you really any different? Is your life been rearranged? Are the shapes different? The colors different? No, nothing's different. You, hate to break it to you guys, you haven't done anything to be worthy of switching from imperfect to I'm perfect. But Jesus did. He did it. Jesus put the space between you and sin. The phrase I kind of came to, I really liked it, was sin once separated you from God, but now God separates you from sin. And I don't know, that one hit me. It's the only thing I underlined in the notes. Sin once separated you from God. Now God separates you from sin. Now once you've made space for Jesus in your life, a lot of things can happen, but I feel like there's two things that happen, at least two. I'll talk about only two. One, Father looks at you as if now you are perfect and unblemished and able to have that relationship with him. And the other thing is, oh, by the way, you actually are perfect and unblemished and able to have that relationship with him. Because remember, Jesus paid for all the sins, past, current, and future. So once you've made that space for Jesus, the sin isn't the issue. He's paid for it. So in the eyes of God, you are perfect. You don't have to sit there and say, well, I don't know, I didn't do something good today. No. Once that space is there, it's there. That was actually pretty impressive. We know he's not on Facebook. Now, just to kind of clarify, well, maybe even confuse, but hopefully clarify you, I've seen that God has this way of doing something in the Bible where he does something and then he tells you to do the same thing. And I remember at one of the Church of the Nations conference, there was this guy, maybe I know Rod and Val, they told me they're listening, so I had to behave. Hi, Rod. Hi, Val. They had this guy come in and it was the most awesome message I'd ever heard, but like, I think I understood about 1.3% of it. And it was how like the kingdom is an already not yet has come kingdom. And like, I mean, it was this whole thing of the kingdom has come, but it's still coming, but it's going to come. And it blew my mind. But a kind of easy example that I see in the Bible is this, where in the Old Testament, you know, God's people were the Israelites, and they were kind of homeless. So he said, listen, I've got a promised land, and I've given you this promised land. And he told them it was theirs. And I feel like if God says, like, hey, that land is yours, that's probably a pretty, you know, legitimate reason to say that that land is theirs. But after he gave them the land, and after he told them that the land was theirs, he then told them to go and take the land. So it's like, well, wait a second, but the land is theirs, but then they still have to go and take it. God does that. He gives you something, but then he still says, now you also go and have to do it, or have to go and do it. Can't talk this morning. And the same is us. Even, you know, once Father declares us as perfect, and we are perfect because of what Jesus has done, his death and resurrection on the cross, we still may have a long way to go to live out that perfection. But to Jesus, we're perfect. We are unblemished, and we can have that relationship with him. So think about this statement, and it kind of reminded me of that one message I heard at that conference, because it's one that's like, I got to think about this more. We are in the process of becoming the perfection that we already are. So think about that one for a while. So from now on, if you have a relationship with Jesus, hold your head up high. Even while you still sin, even while you still make mistakes, even while you still have bad attitudes and bad thoughts, well, thoughts aren't sin, it's what you do with them. But you know, even while you're still doing things that maybe you shouldn't be doing, hold your head high. Because see, that sort of condemnation is from Satan. He wants you to think, well, man, I lied this morning and told Mike he looked really sharp in that outfit. You know, don't Rachel dressed him, I was told, and he does look very nice. But you know, you get what I'm saying. Don't be down on yourself. Because Jesus already took care of that sin. It's gone. That's what 1 Peter 2:24 was saying, is he took it all on him on the cross. The issue now, as Rod keeps, and I love the statement, you know, the issue isn't the sin, the issue is the relationship with Jesus. Because that's the determining factor. You see, I can tell you, like, I'm not perfect. My wife can attest to that. I'm sure many other people can attest to that. But I can stand here and say, my Father took me and my ugly life I had at the time and made it perfect. And even though I'm still really not perfect, he's still making me perfect, and I still am perfect. And again, that can be a very confusing thing when you think about it, but that's how it is. And he still does, as I continue to screw things up in life, because I do. I think we all know that we all do. So let's talk about how to actually have that relationship with Jesus, because that is actually the issue at hand. Again, it's not whether or not there's sin in your life. In Romans 10:9-10, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in what? Righteousness, which is what we need to have that relationship with God. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That's all it is. Again, that's that space we're talking about, to get Jesus to enter and make it from imperfect to I'm perfect. That's the space. This is all we have. Now, listen, God loves you enough to where he doesn't want you to stay where you're at. I think in general, we want to get better every day. Well, God wants the same for us. But to have that relationship, to result in righteousness, which is the, not really a checkbox, but that's the requirement we need to have that relationship with Jesus because of, you know, he is a holy and just God. We have to be righteous. Well, guess what? That's how you get righteous. Does it say you have to change all the letters of your life and make a new word? No. He might ask you to do that over time because he wants, remember the whole living your best life thing? We think we're living our best life and we know what's best. Really don't. He does. And he might kind of, you know, work things along. And I think if you ask people that have walked with Jesus for a long time, they can all say their life is way better now once they started listening to what he had to say than when they tried to do it on their own. So I don't really preach for long, especially when God gives me one thing to talk about. It's kind of like I have one thing to talk about, and I don't want to sit there and fluff it up by adding four more points to it, which you all probably appreciate too. But if this is something that you believe, but yet, or maybe you've never heard, but now you've never believed before, but now you do, I want us to address that. I want us to get you that relationship, because this is all we have to do. I mean, and if you actually, this is where my dad, I was like, man, I wish I actually had more notes on this, but my dad was talking about, you know, Jesus died on that cross, took the burden of our sin, took it with him, and then beat sin and rose from the dead. And because of that, that's what allows us to be able to live this I'm perfect life. And if that's something you've never believed before, but you want to, I want us to do the rest of this, which talks about confessing with your mouth. So family, if you could just pray, you know, along or out loud to encourage those around you, let's just pray together. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. And I believe that you died on that cross and rose again to forgive my sins. Jesus, I ask for you to come in and be the space that separates me from sin. And Father, I want to have a relationship with you. And I want to submit to you as Lord of my life. I love you. Amen. If that's something you prayed for the first time, you can either raise your hand or, you know, let one of us know after. Someone that's been on stage. And so we can talk about it and just kind of tell you, you know, answer questions you may have and just kind of help, you know, help you start this new journey you have. And the other thing that I'd like us to do, and it's, you know, this used to be like a big thing back in the day and it got kind of old in my mind. But I really feel like God is saying, you know, they always go out and do this one thing this week. But I feel like God wants us to go out this week and just tell one person. Just say, hey, just so you know, God isn't worried about your imperfections. Just, you know, so many people beat him over it. Hey, did you know that Jesus died and this and that? And they go in this whole salvation thing, which is great. But it's like so many people don't even know that part. They think right off the bat, I worked with a guy in college who used to always say, I've done too many bad things. It'll never happen. And that was his firm belief. Just say, hey, listen, just so you know, God isn't worried about your imperfections. He's actually kind of already sorted that out. All he wants is just to get to know you and have a relationship with you. It doesn't have to be a person you know. I don't know. I just really felt like God put that on my heart to put that to you guys to do this week. And yeah, that is the word I felt God gave to me to speak. And thank you for allowing me up here, and have a great week, and I'll turn it back over to my dad.